Hi, my name is Mira Patasin. I'm an author and I'm an activist, and GoFundMe is my go-to platform for fundraising. The first GoFundMe I did was to raise money for a chapbook or a collection of poetry and essays and short stories. So we started a GoFundMe and our goal was $7,000. What I've learned is so special about GoFundMe is that it's a whole collection of people offering anything from like $4 to $400. And each time you get a ping that someone donated, even if it is just $4, it's so exciting. So if you have a goal and you get there, you can keep making it bigger and bigger and bigger. We did go past our goal. It was amazing.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hello, everyone. How are we all doing? Come on in. Sit on down. It's time for another episode of the Truther Therapy Sessions. That's right. It is Sunday evening for me. It's 10:45 in the evening, and I've just done a quick conversation, a bit of I suppose it was an interview of sorts with somebody, which I really enjoyed. I actually really enjoyed the talk. It was very unusual to the type of stuff I normally do, and it was more just a discussion of faith. What it means to be a Christian in the modern age and what it means to be a conspiracy theorist and a truther on YouTube while also being a Christian. And he went down many avenues, and in a way I think she was kind of picking my brain to try and figure out how she's going to go forth making her own content. I'm excited to see what Kennedy comes up with in the future, but that talk is going to go up on my Patreon for now. She's given me permission to release it on the channel, which I will be releasing in a couple of weeks time when I'm away on holiday. And I'll be having some interviews and getting backed up, released during that period when I'm away. So that's something to look forward to. And obviously, I hope you guys subscribe to her channel as well when that gets released. But yeah, it was a good conversation. I've been doing that for 2 hours. So I'm starting the show a bit later than usual. But I'm here and I do have some stuff I want to talk about. I really do, because I was perusing the Telegram channel earlier, and there seems to be this topic is a little bit a buzz that people are sharing and talking about in there, and I had a listen. I was like, I know this. I know this stuff, and I think we can have a good conversation about it today. But before I start, let me just talk to you guys, see who we've got in the chat, say hello. We've got Wendy in the chat, our moderator. Thanks for being here, Wendy. I really appreciate it. And we've got Luke Sayers, Kevin, Quiet Wolf. We've got Dana Smith, we've got Nato Sumi. Thank you for being here, guys. I really appreciate it. We've got 55 people in already. That's incredible. These shows are just getting packed lately. The chat's getting away from us. It's getting wild out there. Really interesting. And just before I actually begin, I am going to have to unplug and plug back in this lead. So you're going to lose me for 1 second. A minor technical difficulty. There we go. You should still be able to hear me. Let me just plug that back in. Click that button. And I'll be zoomed out in an odd position. There we go. I am back. And sorry about that, guys. It's my webcam would have died if I didn't do that. It was like the power lead hadn't connected. But we're here now. We're continuing on track. So yeah, we're going to talk about dreams. So dreams are... I know. You hear someone wants to talk about dreams. Like, oh, I'm out. I can't be bothered listening to this. I'm not here to tell you about my dreams necessarily today, but to talk about an interesting concept, which now seems to have been given a name, which is what's exciting me. Because this is a phenomenon I personally experience all the time. And this is something called mall world. It seems to be quite an Americanized term, a mall. You know, we call them shopping centers here. But yeah, the mall world is a concept we're going to get into. I'm going to share a video with you guys, and we're going to have some commentary as she talks when we do the presentation on that. I'm going to try a new format. I'm going to be to one side. The video is going to be on the other side. And as she goes, I'm going to be pausing and commentating as she says things as she goes through discussing this concept of the mall world. And then we'll just open up the back end of the show to the usual Q&A. We'll have a discussion about it. You guys can share your stories if you want to as well. So my wife's in the chat. She's I'm only here for one conversation, and it isn't this. Okay, there's also something else we need to talk about, guys. We need to talk about chickens. Me and my wife were thinking about it the other day, and we realized there's something very suspect going on with chickens in general. And we will get to there. I'll save that for the after presentation, and we're having a bit of fun at the end. But there may be a conspiracy here, something odd going on, and I think we'll definitely be talking about that soon as well. What's this here? Hey Paul, have you checked the Mocha Jumbies from Barbados? That rings a bell, actually. I think I did. Did you send me an email about it? I think I did look into them, where they spin around with the cloth, circle cloths. Yeah, very psychedelic. Absolutely. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. I'll definitely give them a mention in the book for certain. Icon Error says, I barely have dreams that I remember. Well, this is the thing about dreams. Either you have them or you don't. Either you're either a part of the dreaming club, or you're just not a part of the dreaming club. And if you do have the dreams, they're gone before you know it, and that's it, done, you know, and not something that stick. But I myself am an avid dreamer. I mean, I dream a lot, like a stupid amount. My wife's sick of it. She thinks I'm crazy because I wake up and just tell her about the dream I had. And she's like, what on earth is going on in your mind? Where does that come from? And it's like, she can clearly tell I'm not making it up. Like, this just happened to me. I need to tell you about this crazy thing that just happened to me in my dream. I'm one of those people. So she's sick of it. She's sick of hearing about my dreams. I did have dream journals in the past. I have documented a few dreams down. I've even shared dreams with Wendy, you know, trying to say, what the hell was this about? You know, and she gave quite a prophetic interpretation at one point, which was quite impressive as well. And it's things like this, you know, dreams are important. We need them. But we don't really understand them or what they're for or why they happen. By a mainstream secular standard, we really don't have an answer. Like, it's just a thing that happens to us, and we think the function is data processing and formatting and compressing for the next day. And studies have been done that if you deprive people of sleep, they die. So it's clearly important. Like, I'm not laughing at people dying, that's horrible, but what I'm laughing at the trivial, something that seems so trivial to us is actually so desperately important that it's life or death, you know? And I think dreaming is a huge, important part of the sleeping process. And I think if you don't remember your dream, it probably means you had a good night. You had a good night's sleep, you're well rested, there wasn't much to process, you know, good, basically. But if you're somebody like me who's continuously thinking about and struggling with horrible concepts and thoughts and ideas with the weight of the world on your shoulder while there's things happening all the time that you're trying to battle, or troubles in your life, or you're going through huge transformative changes all the time, sweeping from left to right emotionally and physically and your work life, your relationship life, your family life, and there's just one thing after, that tends to be when the dreams come, when there's turbulence and chaos, and these are the dreams you remember specifically. Now, I have that a lot, But I also just have dreams I have all the time, which are recurring. And this is where the more world thing really gets into it for me, because I've been there. I've been to exactly what we're about to discuss today and what this woman's about to discuss in this video. I've seen this place, and anybody who's subscribed to me for long enough, they know I've talked about this many times over years, years and years and years. Even if you were subscribed to me from 2014, I probably kept talking about this. When I dream, I go to a place, and it's a very specific style of place. So it's not always the same place necessarily, aesthetically, but the way it's built is the same. It's shop after shop, bar, airport, hotels, sky, the insides of skyscrapers, of schools and hospitals, and multi-complex, extremely built upon each other cityscapes that I explore room to room going through, and it's packed with people doing stuff, and I'm usually on some kind of journey or mission, and it's like every country that's ever existed in one place and every style of architecture that's ever existed in one place layered into each other and on top of each other in what can only be described now in a relatable way as an AI nightmare, but of just wherever you look at something different, but it's a tangible, real complex structure of a place that goes off into infinity, basically. And it's inhabited. People are living their lives in it excitably. They're having a good time. You know what I mean? It's like a laugh. It's never dark, or if it is dark, that's the ambience of the place. And all the lights come on. It's wonderful. And it's not like a bad place to be necessarily, but adventures are had there. And I go regularly to these vast, complicated cityscapes that I come back from, and I'm like, I didn't come up with that. There's no way my mind created this scape for me to explore this city, this vibrant, infinite world teeming with life that I end up in. And the weird feeling is there's always a sense of familiarity with the place. I know it. It's like a home. It's a place I live, I belong, or I yearn to be back into in some way. It's a very intimate. It's like when you've been away from your hometown for a long time, you go back there to visit, and it's like you feel that sense of belonging. Like, this is my roots. This is like, it's kind of like that, but it's also a strange place. It's like, I don't know it though. It's always changing. There's nothing constant other than the fact it's a multi-complex structured cityscape, but the aesthetics are always changing and the settings always changing. Sometimes it feels like I'm exploring an island in the Canary Islands, or sometimes it's like I'm in a 1800s Victorian city in the north of England or something like that, and it's cobbled streets, but the complexity and the vastness of these cities are grand. It's like I'm exploring the world. If the world was like a compact, condensed amalgam of everything in one spot. And it seems like it's been called Mall World now. And now everyone's talking about it like they're also going to the same place. It's happening to them as well. And that's odd for me. For me, as soon as I heard it, I was like, what's going on here then? Like, I'm not alone. It's one of those I'm not alone moments, you know? This is odd. So let's just play the video, shall I? I'll play the video for you guys. So first of all, I'm going to do a bit of juxtapositioning here. I'm going to move slightly over to the left here of the screen. So when I play this, she'll be there on the right. And I'll be pausing it every now and then and interjecting. But here, let's just listen to this. Okay, let's just check this out.
I'm an ex-witch who is now a Christian, and we need to talk about Mall World. Now, I don't usually go into different conspiracies like this, but wow, there is so much that is being revealed to me right now about Mall World, and I can't help but talk about it because it's very important. So Mall World is a place that is basically like an infinite mall that seems to go in infinite places in all different directions, where there's like a school connected to it, a hospital, an airport, all of these other kinds of places that are all connected to this Mall World place. And there are thousands of us that are realizing that we've all been to the same place. And you guys...
Okay, stopping that there quickly. So as you just said, she explained there's it's an infinite place, And she named typecasts of buildings, you know, like a hospital or a hotel or an airport. And it is like that. And this is scary to me because this is how I've always described it to people. This is how I've always explained it to you guys on my channel who have been here for years, who have heard me ramble about this before when we talk about dreams. You know, I've explained this place before. And now here she is just saying the exact same thing. Maybe she's watched me say this before. I don't know. But it's eerily uncanny that the language she is using is exactly my language that I would describe this. And we have no connection. I don't know who she is. This is the first time I'm hearing about this person. I don't use TikTok. This was just shared in my Telegram today. But this sends immediate like alarm bells. Okay, maybe there actually is something going on here then. So let's just listen to what she has to say about this place a bit more.
I want to talk about this on a different sort of level, because as someone who has opened herself up in different spiritual ways that were in witchcraft, who is now a Christian, there is definitely something going on here, and it's much more sinister than you might think. A lot of people are saying that this is a good place, that this is a manifestation of our collective consciousness, and that, you know, we should all be trying to find each other in Mall World, and, you know, this.
So that's interesting, that take. That I've never really heard that people think this is like a manifestation of collective consciousness. Like when everyone's sleeping, this is where all the disembodied souls go to hang out at night time before going back to the sleeping bodies in the morning to go off and work at Aldi or something. I don't know if that's really what's going on here. Like, I've never felt it like that. I felt like the people there weren't really people. I've never felt like it's like they were NPCs in a video game. That's how I've always interpreted it and felt it. And it seems like some people have been taking it to mean something more than that. And yeah, it does seem like on the surface like a good place. But I will say I'm always in turmoil when I have these dreams. I'm always running away from something or fighting an epic. I'm in the midst of the middle of a war. And this is the setting for it in some way then.
Hi, my name is Mira Patasin. I'm an author and I'm an activist, and GoFundMe is my go-to platform for fundraising. The first GoFundMe I did was to raise money for a chapbook or a collection of poetry and essays and short stories. So we started a GoFundMe and our goal was $7,000. What I've learned is so special about GoFundMe is that it's a whole collection of people offering anything from like $4 to $400. And each time you get a ping that someone donated, even if it is just $4, it's so exciting. So if you have a goal and you get there, you can keep making it bigger and bigger and bigger. We did go past our goal. It was amazing.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
As chaos ensues throughout the realm, you know, as I make my way through it, because I'm on a mission of some kind. It's always the context for me personally, but let's just continue to see what else she says to me.
This is so fun. This is so cool. But I want you guys to realize that there are different subconscious programs that are trying to infiltrate our dream realm. Our dream realm is a very special place that God can communicate to us. He can do healings with us. He can share messages with us. And there are evil forces in this world that are trying to hijack our sacred dream space and use it for their own agenda. And what essentially happens in Mall World is that it kind of seems like a place that's very familiar to you. We've all been to a mall before. We've all been to school. We've all been to a hospital or an airport. And so the environment feels very familiar. However, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but.
So on that familiarity feeling, I can get what she's saying about the idea. Well, everyone's been to a school or a hospital, or, you know, these are familiar places as kind of like archetypes, you know, the archetypical school. We know that feeling of what it is to be in those corridors with the lockers, shall we say. So that feeling there of, you know, familiarity is ingrained into us. I can kind of get that. But I also got another sense, like, these are ancient places that I used to walk in once upon a time. And I theorized a long time ago, I don't know if there's any basis with this whatsoever, but some of these cities I've been in look like very old, antiquitecked out, old world buildings, cityscapes, you know, full of beautiful Greco-Roman revivalist architecture, you know, that type of stuff. And a part of me felt like I was going back to a place I used to be at already, maybe a past life in the millennial reign or something like this. They had more of an ancient familiarity to it than just a, oh, you know, it feels familiar because I know I've been to many shopping malls before, you know. It didn't feel like that kind of, a lot of it felt a bit more deeply rooted than anything else, like a echoes of a past life type feeling I got. But that's just the ramblings of the insane, clearly. Let's see what else she has to say.
The spiritual principalities that are behind that, and it's almost like there's a layer underneath that in Mall World itself. Even though we're in a spiritual realm, what appears to be okay to the naked eye is not actually what it seems. So behind, you know, what feels very comfortable and normal and kind of mundane in Mall World, there's something very eerie about it. And a lot of us have talked about this, you know, the infinite toilets, there's something definitely off about that. And the reason why is because underneath that, there is actually subconscious programming going on. So,
okay, first of all, I have no idea what she's talking about with the infinite toilet stuff. That threw me off left field when she first mentioned that. She brings it up again at the end and kind of explains it. But I think what she's saying is some people dream about just seeing an infinity of toilets, apparently. And it's a subconsciously, it's a bad thing. It's put there on purpose to desensitize and violate your senses in a way. And from what I'm getting at with her explanation here is, this is a realm that's created through programming of the world, through the media in the world. It's programmed us to have these specific dreams in these specific places to hold up an illusion, while underneath that, we're being reprogrammed with satanic doctrines and ideologies and demonized, I think is what she's getting at here. Listen and see if that's what she's saying. Maybe I massively interpreted this. Please also feel like commenting right now in the comment section or in the chat to tell me what you think she's on about, but here we go.
It's almost like a place where you can feel very safe in the dream realm to go explore, but behind that there's a program. Think about MK Ultra, Monarch programming, all of that sort of stuff can also happen in the dream realm. And most of us have been exposed to this kind of programming in our life, whether we're aware of it or not. Whether you were in the Gateway program, or even if you were just involved in the media and watching basic movies and, you know, normal music and things, they all have this demonic, evil programming that's in it. It's very common for us to be exposed to this stuff. And so that's why so many people who, you know, believe that they were in the Gateway program have this experience. And so I want to share with you what happened with me. And what I just now realized was actually God showing me that I was in a program that I shouldn't be in. So a few months before I got saved, I started having these incredibly horrific dreams that were basically dream level within dream level within dream level, just like Inception, where I would go.
So quickly stopping there again. The gate program she mentioned earlier, I think, was a program where they were going into schools and testing children to find gifted and talented examples of children in order to then use them for like ESP experiments in the future and other things like this. They were actually looking for a specific type of person through these tests, which they could then use for psychological tests in the future. And then she mentioned MK Ultra programming, the idea of using torture to break down people's mental states and then build them back up as a reprogrammable mind controlled slave. Obviously, that's well documented throughout history, though. Obviously, we should always question the validity of documents released by feds. So to what their actual capacity is, that's always worth mentioning as a caveat. But it seems like what she's implying is they're doing this in our dreams now. They're programming spaces for us to believe we're in, but underneath that, they're actually torturing our consciousness or reprogramming our consciousness with their own stuff through demons. And I think what she's saying here is she broke through the illusion of the pleasant mall world and fell into the behind-the-scenes layer of what was really going on. And what was really going on is demons and controllers creating a false projection to keep you distracted while they're manipulating your consciousness behind the scenes. So let's just explain the story a bit more from her perspective.
Dream, a dream within a dream within a dream within a dream. And basically what would happen is I was in Mall World, and in the dream I would be in Mall World and I would start to realize that something was off, that I was dreaming. I started to notice the different like glitches in the system, if you will. For example, I remember going on a staircase and realizing that I could actually hack the staircase in this really weird way where I would like jump through it and realize that it was just a never-ending loop. And once I started to realize this, a demon would manifest and attack me, and then I would get taken a layer deeper and the dream would start over again. Then I would realize I was dreaming, and then I would get attacked, and then I would start over again. And this happened over and over and over and over again, to the point where I can't even count how many layers deep I went in. It was dozens and dozens of layers of dreams within dreams at this point, and I was going really, really deep into Mall World. And one dream in particular, I realized that I was dreaming, and I was like, I'm stuck in this Mall World, like I can't get out, and it kept taking me deeper and attacking me. And eventually, I found these three witches who were going to help me, and at the time, I identified as a witch, so I thought...
Okay, so before she gets into the witch story, let's just cover this idea that as soon as she realized she was in a dream, she suddenly saw demons attack her and reset her back into the dream. And I think she explained how she only started to get these demonic dreams and attacks from entities that were consciously coming at her when she was being saved, or going through this getting saved process, you know, coming to Christ period of her life, shall we say. And I can attest that, you know, when you are going through the motions of finally accepting Jesus into your life, that tends to be when the demons heavily come out and start attacking you. And I've shared my testimonies before on this channel of literally trying to kill you. Like, that's how bad it can get. Or the psychedelic dreams that come your way, and the sleep paralysis, and I had a Hatman visitation, and all sorts of things started happening. It's kind of like contracts were getting broken and they weren't happy about it. And it's like, as a last ditch effort, it was, well, if we can't have you, nobody can. And the demons just try and kill you or torture you or mess you up and knock you off course as much as they possibly can, as they're losing grip on you, as the Holy Spirit takes over and you come to Christ and they lose that grip on you. I feel like that's when you get most attacked. They're lashing out. It's going for broke by that point, it seems, is like what's happening with the demonic realm. So I can attest to the story she's saying, that when she was waking up, no longer was Mall World as shiny and lovely as it used to be. She was seeing through it and then suddenly getting knocked back into it. It's like they were trying to keep her in this illusionary projection in her mind, but she kept seeing through the illusion, which is interesting, very interesting. But let's listen to her finding some witches in this Mall World to help her story.
This was again something that's familiar that you trust based on your own psychology. And so I put my trust in these three witches to get me out of Mall World, basically get me out of this program that I was realizing I was in, that I was stuck in. And we started going in these elevators, and these elevators were taking us different layers, but the elevator wasn't just going up and down, it was like hopping through dimensions. And I started to see the different the technological spirits that were behind Mall World that were operating this whole program. And basically, I started to see that we were hopping through different dimensions, but every time I would come out, I was still in Mall World. And it was like I was going deeper and deeper into Mall World with these witches that were supposedly going to help me. Now, eventually, they took me out onto the top of a tower, and it was pouring rain, and there was a helicopter coming down, and it was like super dark out. And basically, they told me there was a rope that came down from the helicopter, and they told me, jump on the rope, the helicopter's gonna pull you out of this. And so I trusted them, and I jumped on the rope, and they started to and they were gonna come with me. And as soon as I started to get pulled up, they turned and they like became super sinister, and they were like, ha ha ha, we got her.
She should have seen that coming. I mean, I'm just listening to this story and I'm thinking like, come on, that's classic. That's like classic movie bait, right? That's what always happens. Like, oh yeah, we'll help you, sure. And then at last minute, oh, we were the bad guys all along. It's like, you should have seen that coming. Come on, come on. I saw it coming. Did you guys see it coming? I don't know. Anyway, let's keep listening.
And they didn't get on the rope with me. And it was almost like if I was going to continue to fly away with this helicopter, I would get stuck in the program forever. And I let go of the rope and I fell. I didn't fall back onto the roof. I fell like to the ground. I was like falling down from the top of the skyscraper. And then I woke up. Now, as this continued, these dreams continued to get worse. And basically, these dreams did not stop until I called on the name of Jesus. Now, the first time that I called on the name of Jesus, I got taken out right away, and those dreams completely stopped. And this led me to following Jesus and completely being saved, and it was the best thing that ever happened to me. But I want you guys to know, whether you're a Christian or not, please understand that if you are starting to experience a very dark presence in your dream, if you're starting to have sleep paralysis or anything like that, do not hesitate to call on the name of Jesus in your time of trouble. He will pull you out of it. He has the highest authority in the spiritual realm, and it will work. Like, I promise you it will work. There are so many people that have had this experience, and please understand that you do not want to be having dreams in Mall World. Please, like, consider asking Jesus to help you from this, because he's truly the only one who can get you out of this matrix. It is a matrix. It's a program that is infiltrating your dream space, where otherwise, if you're having Mall World dreams, God probably wants to speak to you in your dreams, but the Mall World program is like filling up all of the space and hacking the system so that God can.
Now, that's an interesting take, isn't it? It's like a firewall barrier they've created in your dream state to prevent God from communicating with you. Like, that's an interesting take, a very interesting take. Now, don't get me wrong, when I dream, I don't always dream about going to this cityscape, infinite cityscape, but I have been there many times. And again, it's always a battle. I'm always in the midst of a war or a struggle, or I'm running or fleeing or chasing after or something. It's always, I'm being kept busy whenever I go there with a life or death quest. I'm on a quest, you know, and there's nothing else to do but that quest. And because you're in that stupid dream state, it's like it's completely real and normal and ordinary. And of course I'm doing this thing right now. Why wouldn't I be, you know, because this is what I'm doing, and why should I question this in front of me? You know, that's what dreaming's like. And then I do have moments, and every time I've ever had a moment where I've realized I am dreaming, it does turn nasty every time. At least in the past, before I was saved especially, you know, I would have these dreams, and then I would consciously become aware of the dream, and I'd fall. It's a darkness. It would rip away, or I'd die, or I'd get killed by something like a monster or something. Or at one point, I plummeted into the ocean and got eaten by a shark. I could feel every bit of it, you know? It's horrible stuff like that happens. And it's like traumatizing you to wake up or get snap out of it, or again, just kind of wrench yourself awake and then go back straight back into sleep again. That kind of type of thing happens. But every time I've realized I'm in a dream, it gets dark. Pretty much most of the time, for me personally. I know some people it's completely different, and they start flying around and laser beams shoot out of their eyes and they take full control of the situation, you know. But for me, it was always more of a, everything around me suddenly reveals itself to be an enemy, a danger, a demonic, something dodgy, you know. I always get shocked awake by something terrifying, and that's always been my situation personally. But this idea that, well, you've been sent to this place so God can't communicate is interesting, because I've had many wonderful dreams as well, more so since being saved. My sleep is pretty sick.
Hi, my name is Mira Patasin. I'm an author and I'm an activist, and GoFundMe is my go-to platform for fundraising. The first GoFundMe I did was to raise money for a chapbook, or a collection of poetry and essays and short stories. So we started a GoFundMe, and our goal was $7,000. What I've learned is so special about GoFundMe is that it's a whole collection of people offering anything from like $4 to $400. And each time you get a ping that someone donated, even if it is just $4, it's so exciting. So if you have a goal and you get there, you can keep making it bigger and bigger and bigger. We did go past our goal. It was amazing.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
I sleep like a baby, and I can fall asleep like that. You know, it doesn't take me long to fall asleep at all. I don't need any aids or any help, music or screens or anything. I know a lot of people in our generation need that kind of stuff now. I can just close my eyes and fall asleep. And when I do sleep, I'm out. And when I dream, I'm not in danger rarely anymore. And the dreams I have instead are isolated, information-packed metaphors and messages for me that are very useful and helpful in my waking life. No longer am I the victim or running or chasing something, but I am the center of the narrative and the information is coming to me now. And I've had a lot of symbolic dreams that have referenced things happening in my real life that I could think were possibly from God, messages from God himself. It's the only thing I can interpret them because it's so useful. It's so very useful to use and apply in real life and take the message from the dream and realize what I need to do in my waking life to work it out, you know. So maybe she's onto something. Maybe these more world dreams I had in the past were during a time where I was being blocked, I was being firewalled, I was being distracted in a sense, because there's nothing more tantalizing for the senses than an infinite city, you know, a city of light, shall we say. But let's keep listening. What else are you saying here?
Can't actually see you. So please, like, consider calling on the name of Jesus when you're realizing that you're in mall world, or if you're having sleep paralysis, or if you're having dark presences in your dream, Jesus.
She's right about sleep paralysis too. Call on Jesus and it will stop. I can say that does work. If you're ever paralyzed and it seems like you're dying, call on Jesus. It will stop immediately and you will be saved from that situation.
This is the one that can save you out of that. And God wants to speak to you in your dreams. And I promise you, it's not in Mall World. There is a realm of dreams that happen outside of Mall World. And it's so much more beautiful and it's so much deeper. I also wanted to say that with the toilet thing, the thing that I really am realizing about the toilets is that that is a program of perversion. That is a program of perversion and defilement that is infiltrating our psyche and going into our subconscious programming. So we've all had this dream of, you know, the infinite toilets that are disgusting. Why is that? Because it is a program that is getting sent out to the masses to infiltrate our subconsciouses with perversion and defilement. So call on the name of Jesus. He is the thing that can break you out of Mall World. God bless.
And there you go. So I'm not sure why she keeps using the phrase like that is a program. I'm not sure what her methodology behind that conclusion is necessarily. Who's orchestrating the program? Does she mean it's like a computer tech situation where they're projecting it into our brain through signals? We're using towers, perhaps, or something else, or maybe a foreign agent's in our bodies now that can mechanically produce these programs in our brain that project into our consciousness. What does she mean by program? Does she mean it's been subconsciously laid into us through influence of symbols and images and signs throughout decades of media programming? I'm not sure what her context is for that phraseology, but it is clear what she thinks. It's all bad. It's all negative. It's to stop God from communicating with you in some way. An interesting take on the situation. I don't know if I fully believe her conclusions or I'm certain about that. I think dreams are very powerful. I think even God can create amazing cityscapes and places for you to explore to teach you a lesson too. I don't think it's a case of everything can be diecast as good or evil in that situation personally, but it's interesting to hear from my perspective that this is a phenomena that a lot of people have, that I have been describing for years. Like, and I remember those dreams. I still have images right now as I talk about it. I'm seeing flashes of the place and the places I've been and the things I've seen and the interactions I've had and the journeys, the battles, the wars, the chases, all of that stuff, you know, it is there. It's real. It's a real tangible place. Like, I've been to many times, and it's interesting that it's now got a name. I thought I was alone and crazy in this one for a very long time. I've described it to my wife ad nauseum because I've always ended up back there one way or the other, you know. Always ended up back there one with the other. Let's see what people in the chat are saying anyway. There's the little presentation, the little thing. Let's see what's going on. We've got 213 people here. Wow, that's incredible. Thanks for being here, guys. I appreciate it. We've got Coulter in the house. Good to see you, man. Thanks for being here. I didn't manage to catch all your Sunday service today, but I did get the first half of it before I had duties to attend to. I'm going to miss the chicken talk, says my wife. Yeah, we'll get back to that after the break, shall we? This is going to be a relatively shorter show today just because it's late for me and I don't want to go too far past midnight. So this might be like an hour 15 or an hour 20 or something today. But I will talk about the chickens after the break. Paul, I recently had a dream of a huge earthquake. I was hanging to the edge of the cliff. The ground below opened up, rolled the top layer away, and revealed a huge golden Egyptian mummy. Interesting. Now, I don't know what that means, and I'm not here to interpret dreams for you, but it's thanks for sharing anyway. I've also dreamt of many a cataclysm before, with odd symbols and things bursting out of the ground. Years before the little season research, I had a dream that I was driving in the back of an open-topped limo with a jacuzzi in the back. And the jacuzzi had a lot of my old university friends in there for some reason. But we were riding around the top edge of a road that was carved into the side of a mountain that was climbing up this mountain. And it parked on like a plateau that was looking over a huge Grand Canyon style chasm that went off into infinity. That was dark brown rock, and the black sky was all black and gold and wavy and weird. And it was just like a black abyss that was looking down into while everyone was behind me in that car still. And then rising out of the black abyss was onion domed, glorious buildings of like temple church style, Orthodox style temples, just but with like onion dome, multicolored pearlescent tops on them. And they were just, this glorious thing just rose out. And maybe that was a dream of my future research endeavor into the little season. I already envisioned it, or that was God telling me, look under the ground. Look what's buried. Remember. You know, maybe that's what it was. Maybe that was God talking to me because I wasn't in the bloody the infinite mall that time. Who knows? Who honestly knows? I'm theorizing here. May I ask, Paul, says Brooke, did you dream that way before your psychedelic experiences back in your youth, or has it always been that way? No, I've always been a dreamer prior to the psychedelic use and post. I mean, I would say actually I dreamed a lot less when I smoked weed every day for 8 years. A hell of a lot less. And the dreams came back so strong when I quit. So strong. I was dreaming again, you know. And it reminded me that this was the norm for me as a child, and it's a norm for me now. I dream every night now. I don't always remember it, but I remember snippets, you know. No, I've always been this way. I can't help it. It's just the way I am. Sounds like some kind of hypnotism kind of thought. I'm just skipping ahead here, by the way. I'm new, man. It's just like this too. Mall, school, airports is Quiet Wolf. So yeah, we've got someone else here who's experienced the place. How could anyone know anyone else's dream? A mall is a vague, a store. Pretty common, if anything possible, a CIA MKUltra experiment or Mandela effect type deal, says Mr. Jones. Well, it's not that. It's the commonalities that of the built out way it's made that she described, that a lot of people are describing. It's a similar way we all dream, at the very least in the most harmless way. Our brains clearly process information the same way and create these similar places. If you want to just get detached from spirituality about all of this in some way, I like her wild theorizing though. It interests me, shall we say. It definitely interests me. Connor says he dreams of industrial parts of destroyed areas, a hellscape with black dragons, is what I read. Sorry to hear that, man. I go to an underground city sometimes, says Jesse's Domain. I think it's God telling me about the mud flood, though. Maybe. Pepe Sylvia feels like they've not had a vivid dream since 2019. I'm sorry to hear that, man. But maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it means nothing. You're the other thing, a pretty uneventful, decent life of no turmoil or swings one way or the other. Maybe that's what it means. Probably not, though. But hopefully it means something like, oh, you're dealing with it very well, at least. It might just mean that. Sunny is probably right. We're getting radiated by the devices. Yeah, it's actually a result of radiation poisoning. That's what's really all this is. It possibly is, yeah. It possibly is. Tinfoil nightcaps, everyone. That's what we need, yeah. Classic. Red CXI says, the last time I had a dream, all I dreamed was these buzzing white things. I don't know what they were, but they were encircling telephone and electric poles at the top. Interesting. Buzzing white things encircling stuff around you. I bet it looked nice at the very least. Shush, Paul's on, says Wenya. I don't think anyone has to stop talking just because I'm talking. I was getting worried we weren't getting therapy today, says Shalee. No, you got your therapy. Yeah, I'm here. I always try and turn up on a Sunday, you know. I do the best I can. It's definitely the back room, says Pepe. So yeah, the back room is an interesting one, isn't it? I loved watching back rooms lore videos back in the day. They're akin to like the SCP lore, aren't they? You know, but I've seen many a back room video over the years. And it gives that vibe. But the back rooms tend to be empty. And there's unknown horrors beyond human comprehension lurking in the shadows. That tends to be a back room description. This is a vibrant, bustling, living, vibrant place full of life and people. You know, it's like it's a living city. So he said, the vibe's a little bit different, I would say. Just a bit. Trying to catch up to the chat here. Infinite toilet because they're full of shit. Maybe. Mass hypnosis, says Brooke. Maybe. Perhaps that's what it could be. What is odd is how intricately you experience these dreams in their detail. That seems to me of an outside influence, says AJ London Lad. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not proclaiming to understand dreams. I think God created our brains to sleep and dream. I don't think dreams are bad. I think God can give us visions and insights through dreams as well. I think they're a very useful communicative tool from heaven, the spirit realm, to get to us and explain these type of things to us. So I don't think they're evil inherently or every dream is bad. I just think it's interesting that there's this recurrent dream that I have described all my life that it's now finally been given a name. And more people are discussing that are also having the same experience. It just fascinated me. And I just thought I'd talk about it with you guys. This is my therapy after all. I'm trying to get out what I'm thinking and feeling about stuff that's on my mind. So here you go, you know. What else is going on here? We've got I'm losing the chat. I was in Gate, says Jesse's Domain. Interesting, from 1999 to 2000. I don't think I was ever in anything like that. I do have a distinct memory, and don't go off the rails, guys, thinking I was a part of any programs here, right? But I did get sent for a hearing test when I was very young, where I had to wear headphones, and they were playing beeps, and I had to click buttons to say whether or not I heard the beep or not or something like that. But I asked my mum and dad about it and they were like, it's just a core memory, you know. He said, yeah, well, you used to say what a lot to us. Like, we used to always just talk to you and you go, what? Like, you'd never, even if you'd heard us, you'd say what? It turns out your hearing was completely fine. You were just being an ignorant arsehole to us, basically. You just said what all the time because you were a kid and just felt like saying it. You have no hearing problems whatsoever. Maybe I was actually part of some secret program. Maybe that's what it was really all about all along. I don't know. I did ask about it and they were like, no, it's just because you kept saying what all the time. And we were worried you were deaf as a kid. But I remember watching a video once and someone's like, were you sat in a room as a child? Do you have memories of being given a beep test? And it's kind of like, maybe you were a part of some secret government organization plot. And it's kind of, I don't, okay, let's go. You know, I was all in on that and rolling with it. No, I think it was just as harmless as my parents literally thought I might have been deaf. It turns out I wasn't. But maybe they were innocently taking me for a hearing test. Maybe the government did do experiments on me without them knowing in that room. I have no idea. And now I dream about more world. Maybe it's all connected. Just throwing it out there. I have no idea. Throughout my childhood, I was always open a main menu and exit the game. That's interesting. Is that in a dream form? It's like a video game? That's interesting. I actually can remember four different demonic dreams. One was...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
A once off. The other one happened 3 times throughout my life, but never since I was what I considered to be more a mature believer. Yeah, I would say the vicious, horrible, gory, bloody, deathly nightmares have pretty much stopped since I've become strong in my faith. And really given myself over to all of that, you know, and walked more uprightly in the plan that I think I'm meant to be following, you know, hopefully, that God's laid out for me, you know, and being more authentic with who I am in my faith. I feel like that has definitely helped me with my dreams and the nightmares a lot. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit is protecting me more so from the demonic influence that surrounds us. I don't know, but I definitely feel like my dreams are more at peace until something's happening where, like, I need to learn something or I need a message or I need help. Whenever I'm going through, like, a change or a period in life where something's happening to me or something that's, like, quite drastic or the map's changing. Everything as I used to know it is no longer going to be the case, and I need to adapt to a new way of living. That's when I have a dream, usually, to help me process that change, and usually it comes with symbolic messages and inferences that kind of help me internalize the change more so, and where my insecurities are and things like that. So the dreams are actually, when I do have vivid dreams, I remember now, they're very helpful, and they're usually during times where I need the support or help. Do you get what I'm saying? That seems to be the switch over. That's just the way I've seen it. Dan's in the chat. Thanks for being here, man. It's good to see you. Sounds like the DMV, am I right? It does. I guess it is quite bureaucratic, shall we say. Something like that. I have dream walked to give others warnings of things in real life. Yeah, Wendy's an avid dreamer. That's for sure. She shared a lot of that with me in the Telegram. What's up, Paul, bro? Ball World sounds like Backrooms, bro, says Shauna Ray. It does, doesn't it, Shauna? It does sound like the Backrooms. We mentioned that earlier, yeah. It's so intense. It's a radio jammer. Our brain is a receiver, says Kultacon. So I think her interpretation got you guys, did it? It was interesting. It got you. I'm going to just scroll down all the way to the bottom of the chat now. I'm sorry if I missed your guys' comments. I really am. But get them in. I'm going to have a quick break. I'm going to play a song for you guys. And when we get back, I'm going to quickly talk about chickens with you guys, because we're going to roll on this whole projection simulation matrix concept a little bit more, just a little bit more. We're going to use the concept of how many chickens exist in the world and how many we see in the shops on a daily basis to try and justify that. Maybe it is all just a fake projection. So we'll get there, though. Right now, I'm just going to play the usual song for you guys by Judah Sargent. While I just have a quick break, catch my breath and have a drink. Yeah, I've been reading the chat, and someone asked me if I see facial features when I dream and see these characters. To be honest, no. Rarely. Sometimes, yes, but I very rarely remember any of the facial features after the fact. It's a generic, my brain just filled in the gaps type of thing. I have often dreamt of people I know. I recall those facial features whenever someone I actually know is involved in the dream. Like, I've had I had one dream where one of my friends was at the top of the stairs at this place I was staying at. And it's as though I'd woken up and I was walking around the place I was staying at the time. I was in Oxford, staying at a friend's house, and it's as though I was doing the washing up, you know, and I was just doing things like I should have been doing while there. And I walked up and looked up at this flight of stairs that they have, because it's a multi-floored, multi-room place. And he was just stood at the top of the stairs, one of my friends, but he was like, it was like him, but it was more like something was trying to be him. It wasn't him. It was like paler, much paler than him. And he kind of like looked at me. and just like pointed his finger at me like this. And then I had like a moment of realization that I'm dreaming and this is not my friend. And then everything just kind of collapsed and fell away. And I just wrenched myself awake and I was just back in bed in the same building, you know. I've had those moments, but I remember his face very distinctly. It was uncanny. It was like him, but not him anymore. It was like something was wearing his skin in a way. I can't really explain it. But sometimes they are just an amorphous, spiraled blob of nothingness, you know? Like, there's no actual features to discern. I've seen that too. My mall world is screwed up stairs like Inception, all directions and roadblocks. That sounds creepy. Yeah. Mine's pretty horizontal. no going upside down or anything like that, luckily. I dream about people I know, but they don't look like they look like. I just know it's them, if that makes sense, so they have no face. Yeah, I get what you're saying there, yeah. No, we don't. That really cracked me up. I don't know. Did I say something? Did I say something that cracked you up? Paul, turn on the words. Can you guys hear me? Or am I speaking into the ether here? I'll turn on the words for the song. Maybe I'll ask Jude to send me some lyrics. Maybe I can sort something out for you guys. I'd never heard of the Mall World before now. It sounds so scary. Oh, there's nothing to be scared of. No fear. Absolutely no fear whatsoever. You know, this is just dreams. In the name of Jesus, you have authority over all things and walk upright in that authority without any fear. You shouldn't be scared of dreams, demons, TV shows, shapes, or anything. Like, you should be above all of that, you know. You have dominion and authority over all things here in Jesus' name, because all authority is given to him, and that authority he gives to you to tread on serpents and scorpions. So have no fear. This is nothing to fear. It's just interesting to think about and understand and integrate and help you live through life, understanding and knowing and possibly being safe from these type of things if something should happen. But your best defense is always prayer, fasting, and to call on the name of Jesus. Absolutely. And in a fasting state, you dream a lot more. Like, that's another thing I've noticed as well. IKEA world is the real scary one. You're getting all back rooms on us now, aren't you? Yes. Is that an SCP one? I'm not sure. The infinite IKEA. That's a good one. That's a good one. Maybe not just dreams. Maybe it's the astral world with all the entities. Maybe. I think it's a bit of this and a bit of that. I think it's a bit of everything. I think you can have those dreams where you're exploring astral realms, or you can have those dreams where a personal space has been created for you for your own dream reasons. I think that happens as well. I do think it's both. I've had dreams like that too, and I've never had shrooms or anything. Talking to Chris T. What did Chris T say? Let me see what he said. I remember a dream where I ate a handful of mushrooms and actually tripped balls in my dream. Was a really bizarre one. That's interesting. That's very interesting. Apparently, there's more to a mall world than just a mall. There are elevators, roads, highways, cabins, and schools. I mostly dream about being at the school or driving on the highways, says Star Dream Girl. Oh, yeah, the infinite mall, or the mall world, I think is like just one way of describing it. It's like it's full cityscapes, roads included for me. It's a massively built out city with many layers built on top of the next layer as well. So there's a verticality to it, yes. There's elevators, the stairs. It's like the most advanced, trippiest, crazy city you could ever imagine. That's so dense, it covers the eyes from every direction. You can look up or down or left or right or diagonally. It doesn't matter. It goes off into infinity and there's something there for you to go towards and explore or make your way to. There's no sky in some cases, but sometimes there is sky and there's open plains and there's a really built out more flat land type thing, and it's like a whole universe to explore, a whole new earth just coated in complex structures that are in and of their own selves ecosystems. Do you get what I mean? Like, that's what it feels like, and it's like you can never be bored. there's always more to see, you know. And if what she's saying corrects, then it's like the perfect distraction to keep you focused on being entertained and distracted rather than communicating it as dreams should be with God. Maybe that's what it really is. Maybe that's what it was. I just thought it was an interesting take, and I thought I'd share with you guys. A fun episode on SCPs sometime would be awesome, says Dan. Yeah, no, like, I do know a lot about the SCP. I've researched a lot of the lore over the years. I got sucked into a lot of SCP videos and the rest of it, but I don't know. It's fiction. It's fiction, you know what I mean? And I know we dabble here with what is truth and what's fiction, but that is fiction, and I don't know if we're just wasting our time if I get into that stuff on here, to be honest. But it is interesting. I'd recommend other people do. Infinite IKEA is older than SC. It's more of a creepypasta, is what he's saying. It's just been there for a long time on the internet as a concept from the annals of 4chan. Probably from 4chan, right? The thing that did bother me about the rapture dream was I remember watching people around me go up and I felt a sense of dread seeing that. Yeah, I find dreams that involve such vast concepts like people going into the sky and you being left behind, that can be horrifying. I never had that kind of dream myself, but I did have a dream once where I was in the field behind my house and I looked up and saw enormous red, what looked like demonic sigils. I can only explain it like the Goetia list of symbols or something, but giant glowing blood red written in the sky versions of above me all laid on top of each other. And they just appeared out of nowhere. Like it was a normal walk through the field up until that happened. And that all encompassing, the sky ripped away to reveal this horror above me, you know, was like a heart-stopping, fear-inducing moment until I realized it was a dream and woke up. But if that happened to me in real life, especially in that state then, when I was like unaware of most things, I probably would have had a heart attack and died. But if it happened now, I'd probably go, oh, it's happening, it's time, I think I know what this is, I saw something like this coming. It was like that dream that I had not so long ago. And I do wonder if maybe, you know, in light of like a potential future where suddenly things are just going to appear in the sky that are going to blow our minds, maybe God makes us see these types of things before they happen in dreams to prepare us consciously for what's about to happen, you know, so we don't just freak out immediately. Or it's kind of like we're already mentally softened for that to happen because it's not the first time you would have seen such a thing, you know. Maybe that's what those type of dreams are for. And I'm not saying the rapture is really going to happen, because you know where I stand on timeline situations, but maybe a false rapture might happen, or something like akin to a rapture may happen, and maybe you dreamt that to prepare you for what's coming. Because if you are truly for Christ and you figured out the truth, and maybe you are going to be left here for a reason, and those who get taken up are the deceived ones, perhaps. And maybe that dread you're feeling is actually, you're experiencing it now so you can get over it and realize maybe being left behind in this context, this timeline context, wasn't the worst thing. Who actually knows? Just an idea. Just an idea. No, do not take any of what I just said as gospel truth whatsoever. I'm just riffing here, okay? Paul, oh my gosh, I had similar when I used to dabble. I woke up and saw the sigils on my wall, three rows right across the wall. Interesting. A more word, a mind control technology or spiritual thing. Who knows? She thinks it might be kind of like both, is what that woman said in that video. Dan used to be hooked on Slenderman videos back in the day. I remember that too. That guy was creepy. Absolutely, yeah. I remember that. It's a bit old now, Slender Man. There's probably more scarier, horrific things out there now than that. Oh, speaking of which, probably a good segue. Speaking of horrifically scary, terrifying things, someone sent me an email today, and he sent me a compilation of artwork he's generated. I don't know if he's drawn the... I think they're all AI. Creating Nephilim clowns of what he thinks they would have looked like based on my work, and they are absolutely the most terrifying things I've ever seen in a very long time. Like, this guy has gone brutally graphic with the Nephilim clown visage. And I'm going to share some with you, okay? Just to show you what this guy sent me. And, you know, the sad fact is the Nephilim were hideously terrifying, monstrous creatures that would make men's hearts crumble at the witness of them. You know, like, it was a horrifying thing to behold. And when you mix a dragon with a human, you do get something akin to what you're about to see here. So this is for educational purposes only. They are AI generated, I think. It didn't make it clear, but I think they are. I did not make these. I'm just showing you guys as an example, you know, of what the Nephilim may have looked like. If you're of a nervous disposition, don't look. If you think looking at these types of things is going to invite demons into you, then you're in the wrong place. Like, if you have that little faith in the authority you have in Christ, that you can't look at pictures, I can't help you, okay? But I would say, no fear. These are just images. You know, he that is within you is greater than he that's in the world. Don't worry about it. You're going to be fine. You're covered by the blood of Christ. You are safe, okay? I'm going to show you anyway, all right? This is pretty interesting. And I feel like I put a lot of work into these. I feel like I should show you guys just for that reason. Okay, I think it would be fair. Here we go. And he wants credit. So Cass Schmidt made these for me. And I'll share the screen with you so you can see, and we'll just get through them, okay? But these are terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. There's the screen. Here they are. We'll open it one at a time. Look at this thing. Well, that's what a dragon and a human mixed together would look like, is it not? Something like this. Absolutely mortifying. Look at the state of that. These are the Zamzumimes, the long-necked ones, something like that. I think it's the blood effect that he's put on everything that's really adding to the horror factor of all of this. I don't think they would have actually had floppy ruffles that you're seeing here from the Victorian era, but they would have had reptilian frills, which is what the ruffle is probably a mimic of. So it would have been more, it would have had more spines to it, if you get what I mean. A lot more spiny. But look at this thing. Could you imagine seeing something like this? And it's a giant, by the way. Okay, it's like 15 to 20 foot tall. What do you do? What do you do then? You know? But these are graphic and terrifying and probably what the Nephilim looked like. Okay, I'm just saying it out there. I think this guy has pretty much nailed it on the head here. Pretty damn close. Look at that. Absolutely, absolutely terrifying. So there we go, guys. That's the latest batch of Nephilim clown imagery, which someone sent to me. I think that's a pretty damn close rendition, isn't it, of what we would have been dealing with here. Absolutely mortifying. These are the OG Nephilim, by the way, the originals, you know, the ones pre-flood. I think the post-flood ones were a bit more watered down, a bit more human looking, and not quite this, but this is the origin. This is the these are the first half angel, half human hybrids that were created in the original antediluvian age. They would look something like this. Absolutely. Truly terrifying. And that's why we have masks like the Rakshasa today and things like that as well. That's what they're inspired by. So yeah, we'll switch back to the screen. That's enough of that. There we go. Yeah, absolutely terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. So we all agree the lizard men are Nephil, yeah? Nephil. Yeah, well, probably descendants of Nephilim, but I do think also humans Nephilimified themselves. That's a trademark term. I don't know if it's not trademarked, but I did come up with that term. They Nephilimified themselves to be like Nephilim. So they mutated their genes to mix themselves with animals. So I think like lizard men are men who turned themselves into lizard people. Mothman, Spider-Man, I don't know. Like, just name of cryptid, that's where they came from. Humans mutating themselves. The Nephilim were dragons hybridized with humans. A completely different thing. And yeah, they look like lizard people, but with more dragon-like features, I would say. Pre-flood Nephilim were much taller, right? I heard over 60 foot. Yeah, these things like were ended up as mountains laid out on the floor in the end when they were slain. They became the landscape we know today, likely, as the flesh hardened into stone and weathered away into what we see today. I think that's where giants come from. That's what where mountain ranges and stuff come from. These things were enormous and were basically living on top of the remains of them. Yeah. Then I think after the flood, there was like a smaller version of giant around, which was still pretty big. Don't get me wrong. They were like grasshoppers in the sights of some of them. But I think that's where there was a more of a humanized, hybridized type giant around. Like the descendants, like many, many descendants away from the original Nephilim, to the point where they lost much of the dragon-like traits and were going a lot more towards hairy human-like traits. I think that started to happen more in the post-flood world, from what my research has shown me. That isn't to say some clown-like features didn't continue. I think some of these hairy wild beastmen were very colourful, like the wild man, because you look at the costumes worn in this tradition, very colourful. Very, very colourful. So yeah, some of it would have passed through, that's for sure. Some clown-like imagery. Right. So that's that. And one more thing I would like to talk about very quickly, just to kind of finalize this truth of therapy session for fun. We're just having fun today. You know, this is a fun show and nothing too deep. I think we all need a break from the misery and the horrors while we're trying to tentatively see what this whole peace deal in the Middle East is truly going to pan out to be. So let's just forget that's happening for a second and let's just talk about chickens. So me and my wife were talking and she showed me this video of a guy who's wandering around. I think it was in a Lidl, we call it here. And his girlfriend was filming him and she was like, tell people why you think it's a simulation. He's like, look over there. How many chickens do you reckon are on that shelf right now? What, 30? That's every single day in this one store, 30 chickens end up there. Okay. And how many stores are there in the UK? And that's just Lidl alone. How about we multiply that by the amount of stores that are everywhere? Each one of them is having 30 chickens put on their shelves every single day. And he's like, where are we doing this? Where are we growing these things? How is this happening? He's like, it's not real. I'm not buying it. It's a simulation. That's not really happening. No one's actually like producing that many chickens daily, slaughtering them, sending them out and doing all these things. Like it can't possibly be real, you know? And he's looking around like, look at this pack of like Coke bottles. There must be trillions of them all over the earth, and it's kind of, where is this happening exactly? How is this the case? We're told it's through, you know, supply chain systems and all this type of stuff. It's like I'm not buying it. It's a simulation. Maybe it is, but I don't know if it is a simulation. You know, my theory on simulation theory is that it's basically It's Christianity without God. It's the creation that has a creator, but just we just don't want to call it God, so we call it a simulation, you know. And the simulation is God's creation, and technically, Christianity is simulation theory with extra steps. We've tagged a God onto it. Okay, so if you want to describe it that way, you could go vice versa, which I thought was funny. But we did the math. And it turns out about 1 billion chickens a year in the UK alone are sold and slaughtered. 1 billion. Think about that. A year in the UK alone. Multiply that by all the countries in the world. And you're talking, the math can't be done. Like, we don't really know the numbers. But every year, trillions of chickens are slaughtered and eaten every year. Think about that. It doesn't even comprehend, like, to the amount of, like, people we have compared to chicken death ratio. And I was thinking about that concept. I was like, that is awful. Like, mankind has taken this simple idea of raising your own food and killing your own chicken and thanking them for it, you know, and the whole sacred idea of, you know, what Native Indians do, you know, and the whole animal is used, nothing is wasted, and you thank the animal for its sacrifice type attitude. You know, reverence for the death of the animal to feed you as a sacrifice, you know, that type of idea, you know, like, that's gone, isn't it? What are we doing? How, in what conditions are we growing these things to supplicate our desire for chicken, you know? And it's like, never mind every single KFC out there. And he's like, and the guy was in the mall and he was like, not once have I ever seen an issue where we've ran out of chicken. Except for that one time where KFC ran out of chicken that one day. You know, it's like they had one job. It's kind of, it's like, I'm not buying it. Like, it doesn't actually make sense when you add the numbers up. Like, that's not, it's not really possible. It's because it's all a simulation. It's all just a computer program, you know, is what he's saying. And I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But I just thought it was interesting when you actually get into the concept of just how that works. It just seems so implausible, doesn't it? Like, so grand. And I suppose it's a testimony to how complex of a system we have created where that is even possible. It's a miracle that there are 30 chickens on the shelves a day in any supermarket, anywhere you go. Like, that we've managed to figure that out and make that a case. We want for nothing, realistically. You know, and it's kind of like, yeah, sure, the prices are going up and it's expensive, but there'll never be a supply problem so long as we continue maintaining that system we built. And I don't know. Factory chickens have hands down the highest amount of microplastics of any food source, says Dan. Well, interesting. Thanks for letting me know. Everything tastes like chicken too. yuck turns my stomach. Every animal should eat it in full respect and being grateful. I wish I could be fully veg, says Golden Fern. You know, I personally don't see the utility in worrying about food or the morality of it or anything like that. I think all food is sanctified by God as long as you pay the proper respects and prayer for it and pray over it. So I don't see an issue with that necessarily, personally, myself. And I am of the type, I know this, and I've learned over the years, that I'm not actually satiated unless I have meat. And this, maybe some people agree with me on this or don't. It might be because I'm an O blood type, I don't know, but I'm not full, or my body needs it. I don't function correctly if I've not had enough protein through meat. It's odd. And then the irony being, I have hemochromatosis, so I can't get rid of the iron that meat gives me, so I have to, it's like a horrible cycle. I don't know, I can't, like, chicken is okay, I suppose, but I do prefer red meat if I'm gonna have anything. But yeah, it's just the thought of the billions that we're killing yearly in the UK alone. It's just unprecedented. Like, the amounts, like, it almost seems impossible, doesn't it, when you think about it? And that's just chicken. Never mind the rest of the animals, you know? And there's something about the whole system that is the case. It's kind of, it does feel kind of wrong in like a, Has mankind gone too far kind of way? You know what I mean? When you really think about it, like, just some thoughts there. Like, our systems are so efficient that we can slaughter a billion chickens a year in the UK and never run out on our shelves. And get this, we're self-sufficient in poultry up to 65%. So the other 35% is shipped in from somewhere else. So that means somewhere else is more than 100% sufficient in their poultry, like, consumption, and therefore they have enough excess to give to us instead. So there are other countries over slaughtering chickens and have too much supply, and that's, just think about that, like, in the numbers we're talking about here, that they can then supply it to feed full countries somewhere else. I don't know, it's just, yeah, not to mention the antibiotics pumped into chicken farm. I know, right? The whole thing is just, it's crazy when you really get to thinking about the numbers involved here. The numbers. That's why they want to take red meat away from us. Yeah, yeah. The price of steak now. I mean, I love steak. I love red meat. Okay, and it just is, but I feel like I've been priced out of it. Okay, like it's ridiculously priced now. Very ridiculously priced. It's like tripled in price in the last year alone. And I can't justify it. I can't justify spending that much on that. So I'm settling for something cheaper like chicken, but at the same time, I know I'm missing something vital. Like I need that red meat. There's stuff in it like that I clearly my body is like screaming for. And I'm gonna have to fork out every now and then, I think, just for a steak for that reason. I don't know what it is. Like, protein from other sources does not work for some reason. For me, it just does not work. For other people, it's they have a different body type and the blood type, and they can just get it from other things and they feel satisfied. For me, it doesn't work. It doesn't. It's not. I can't explain it. It's like your body knows. It screams for the things it needs. Earlier, like, I was downstairs with the wife before I went and started work, and I was on the laptop, and I just said to her, like, I need an orange. Like, my body is screaming for me to go over there and pick up that orange and eat it right now. So I did. And afterwards, I felt great. I didn't realize I felt bad until I had the orange and realized I was deficient in something drastically. And my body was telling me to go and eat this fruit. You need whatever vitamin is in there right now, specifically. Like, I don't know what it was, but I listen to my body when it tells me, and it tends to always be right when it comes to that. It's odd. The world's amazingly complex, and the systems are complex, and our bodies are complex, and I guess I'm just thinking a lot about the complexities of existence lately. I can't help it. What can I say? But yeah, the wife inspired this conversation, that's for sure. She's probably asleep. She probably missed this. She's just behind this wall here. I don't know if she's listening or not. Probably not. She probably missed the chicken talk. What's this virtual Apple Steak Fund? $4.99. Thanks, Reality Witness, for the $5 donation. I'll get that steak yet. I'll save that just for a steak. You believe me. I like that. Thank you so much. You know, someone also started a fund to get me a comb at one point because of my hair. That was money well spent. I still don't use a comb, though. I'm not gonna lie. Many, many funds have been started to get me things I desperately need over the years, that's for sure. Funds I didn't even ask for. I wonder how Paul would go with cherry juice or beetroots, different forms of iron. Yeah, I need heme iron. That iron that comes from other sources. Isn't the same kind of iron I need. I need the iron that can only be found in meat. There were two very different types of iron. And iron's iron, don't get me wrong, like, but our body absorbs heme iron way faster and quicker than it does other forms of iron. Now, for me, with hemochromatosis, I absorb all iron and maintain all of it. But something about heme iron is it goes to the place it needs to go in your body faster and more effectively. And I think that's why my body craves it when I need it. But then I end up getting too much iron in my body, which I can't process and get rid of. And then I end up rusting to death internally. So it's a catch-22 for me. But don't worry, I have methods of staying on top of it. Yeah, in America, we recently changed our policies preventing food Samaritans from helping or having feeding programs unless they are specific places. That's a shame, Giant Tree. That's horrible. I don't ignore anything my inner self tells me at Girl Code. That's true, yeah. Yeah, your body, listen to your body. Here's $5 on your next bag of oranges. Thanks. I mean, what's that? $5. So that's, they take a third. So what do I get? Like $3.50, something like that, roughly, give or take. $3.20. And then that's about £2 in English money, which is what I'll get from that $5. And a bag of oranges is about £2.40. So it does go towards it. Thank you. I definitely, yeah, I do eat oranges a lot lately. I don't know why, Matt. I just like them. I just do. What can I say? I eat enough red meat daily to make a new age vegan hippie cry. I bet, yeah. You're making up for what they've not eaten, Dan. That's what you're doing. What's scary is the amount of chicken wings that they sell compared to other chicken products. Well, exactly. You know, the amount of chicken poultry products is insane. Absolutely insane. How are we growing them fast enough and killing them fast enough for this? Like, what systems are in place to make this happen? I don't know. I don't want to think about it. That's true. You can't take food to shelters. I delivered pizza during COVID and would take the extra at the end of the night to people on the streets. Good for you. Careful, Paul. Your skin and eyes will turn yellow. Well, from iron overload. Oh, don't worry about that. I know all about iron overload. I'm living it. I've lived it. I was overloaded with iron quite high. I got to about 1,700 ferritin or something, which is high, dangerously high. But there are people who get up to like 4,000 before they get treatment. I got treatment, luckily, quite early. And now it's under maintenance level, so I won't have that issue. I'm not going to turn yellow anytime soon. Don't worry. Thankfully my liver and heart are still in good condition. They weren't damaged. I don't know about my brain or anything else though, because it affects everywhere, but I do have issues. I have aches and pains and chest pains, and things happen to me every now and then, which are likely just due to iron damage, like rust damage in my body, fibrosis basically. But I got lucky that we caught it early when I'm young, so I probably won't die from it now, but most people catch it too late. And it kills them before it's too late. Like, there's too much damage, too much cirrhosis of the liver by that point. There's no coming back from it. So I'm lucky I caught it young. Thank God I caught it young. Most people are not lucky to discover it until it's too late. Way too late. So I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm not going to be turning yellow anytime soon. Don't worry about it. Paul's just got orange instead. But yeah, I don't eat too many. I have like one orange every other day, every 2 or 3 days. I don't eat that many oranges. Don't worry about it. I eat other fruit as well. It's fine. I think chicken should be your next conspiracy series. Interesting points being raised here, says Crispy Chicken. Well, I think you have a vested interest in this. I think you're slightly biased, Crispy Chicken, so I don't know about that. If you want to be an anonymous donor and fund the project, and we can talk behind the scenes about how we're going to make this happen and create a new movement to expose the chicken industry, and just send me an email at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com and maybe we can work something out, you know. thanks for the super chat though. I really appreciate it. I know it's a chicken related donation. I'm probably going to use it to buy steak, I'm going to be honest. I think 2026 is because that's when Satan's going to really show himself. I think the Great White Throne Judgment is going to happen between 26 and 33. And as that happens, that's when World War III happens, says Blaine. Well, you've got it all mapped out, Blaine, haven't you? You know what's going down. £3.33 if you know, you know, says Space Mike. Yeah, Lord, you know. Space Mike is a Mason. Yep, there we go. He's exposed. We know now. Joke, Paul, God bless. Right, guys. I've been going for an hour and a half, so I think I'm going to bring this show to an end now. We've had some fun. Go away with this new knowledge of Mole World and do your own research. And if you have had your own Mole World experience, please let me know in the comments down below and share your story. I actually genuinely am fascinated. because it's something I know is personal to me as well. And I'm going to have to do a lot more research into this topic now and see what other people have been saying about it and what the conclusions they've come to about the situation. But yeah, a fun one today. Just a quick one off the back of me being on someone else's podcast already earlier. I'll be back on Wednesday with the live Q&A, but I've also got, I'm on the Awakened podcast, I think I'm on Wednesday as well. I'm on a lot of podcasts this month, which are all going to get released through the beginning of November when I'm on holiday for 2 weeks. So I'll be releasing stuff because I'm not here. So I'm making a backlog right now of podcast visits, long form stuff, discussions to release to you guys when I'm away. So that's lots more coming in the future. If you haven't already, check out the latest video on understanding creativity, my other channel, links down below. It's a good one. It's got about 8,000 views already. It's the second half to a presentation about MK Ultra and its use on artists throughout the 20th century. It's very, very interesting presentation. And I'm sure you guys will enjoy that if you're looking for something extra to get your teeth into. I'll be back soon with just the usual rantings and ravings of a madman, which you guys seem to listen to for some reason. They'll be back as well soon. If you want to contact me, email me at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com. If you would like a signed copy of the Nephilim Looked Like Clowns, I still have 5 hard copies available. I can mail them out to you straight from here. Just email me at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com and I can get that out for you. I'm going to leave you with my Halloween advert because it is the season for that kind of thing, for the book. But don't forget, guys, you can get it there at Amazon. You can get it on audiobook as well through Audible. It's available in any format you want it or through me directly for a signed copy as well. So there we go, guys. I'll leave you with that. Thanks for listening. And as always, God bless.
When ordinary people think of autumn, they imagine shorter days, cozy fires, curling up with a great piece of literature, and basking in the warming scent of cinnamon with shades of burnt orange, which your other half has decided to spend the life savings on to decorate the home for only 2 months, just as God intended. Yet we must remember that this transition into the frosty abyss of winter creates the perfect conditions for the spread of the pathogen known as Halloween. This disease causes people to dress like demons and go door to door asking for free stuff. This public service announcement aims to give you the correct tool to help you deal with these contagious commie behaviors when they manifest in your local community. First, you'll want to arm yourself with multiple shots of the best-selling paperback on Amazon called The Nephilim Looked Like Clowns. With this PPE, you're fully equipped and well protected to handle what's to come next. Second, have a pumpkin spice latte and white girl autumn your time away in knitted cream shackets and pilgrim hats, because soon enough, Samhain begins. This is when the veil between the spirit realm and the physical world is at its thinnest, and possession, the main symptom of Halloween, is more commonly presented, causing this type of unironic cringe to start happening. Just look at him. This poor soul thinks he looks cool. And if you're not careful, this could be you. Together we can stop the spread of Halloween and flatten the curve. When you see fully grown adults playing dress-up and mirroring unspeakable horrors from beyond the void, remember your training and cure their vapid sense of self-identity by handing them one of our favorably reviewed treatments. Your country must develop herd immunity to seasonal cringe. So, spread the cure far and wide. Just like the cure, this disease does not discriminate by age. Emulating the infected, you will see children running around in bedsheets, knocking on doors, begging for sugary treats, and threatening to damage your well-earned property. make sure to fill their novelty buckets with the one thing all children secretly want. A well-rounded and relatable education in biblical history. That'll stop the spread. The Nephilim look like clowns, and the inevitable boost of volumes are currently the only known cure to thinly veiled demon-channeling holidays. This is your best defense against this pandemic of spooky proportions. All you have to do is trust the science. Which you know we did, because I'm showing you people wearing lab coats and looking serious. Get your copy on Amazon today, and be prepared for tomorrow. Side effects of reading The Nephilim Look Like Clowns include, but are not limited to, a feeling of existential crisis, a well-rounded knowledge of a Christian contrarian view on human history, a foundational understanding of spiritual warfare, and a healthy aversion to clowns.